So, well, like I said, it was kind of interesting that you chose today for Pastor Appreciation Sunday because of the verses here in 1 Peter 5, because it talks about a little bit about how pastors should act. I hate reading those kind of verses, but we're going to do it. So we're just going to read through chapter 5 here, starting at verse 1. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. And that's a little bit beyond pastors. That's any mature Christian, really. I, too, am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I, too, will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, even if it is a Rehoboth Beach picture, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. So in other words, saying here to those who have been in the church for a long time, and specifically to pastors and elders, that we are responsible for the flock that we've been given. There is a greater responsibility there. Paul alludes that to that in one of his letters, and believe me, that keeps me awake some nights. I'm responsible for you. You guys. I'm responsible. You imagine when I get up to heaven and God says, so how did it go at New Danville? I'm like, well, God, you sent me Mark Mitchell. That was kind of unfair. You know, you're the miracle worker, not me. But I did pray for his wife, you know, as Daniel was in the lion's den, may she be delivered. No. It is wonderful. It is a joy to walk alongside you guys and learn about Christ. Because I find as I'm teaching you, I'm learning just as much myself. And it's not a burden. Now, I'll admit, you know, there were some things that were accurate in the kids' skit. There are times where the phone will ring and I'm like, oh, no. You know, usually it's a telemarketer. I don't know if you guys know this. I think I've told you this before. Because I don't keep regular office hours here, because there's nobody else in the building, and it would be weird for me to sit here alone, what I've done is I forwarded the church's phone to my phone. So the phone will ring here for a little bit, but if nobody answers, it goes to my cell phone. Now, I can't tell that on my cell phone. I don't know if somebody called the church or they're just calling me directly. And 9 times out of 10, it's a telemarketer that wants to make our church that much better by selling us whatever product. But there are challenges at times. Sometimes I'll sit down for a relaxing evening and an emergency call comes in. Yesterday morning, I got up and I had my phone off. I often turn my phone off at night unless the kids aren't home yet, and then it stays on because, you know, you'd be ready for that. But as soon as I turned it on, there were a couple texts already. In fact, there were 6 texts already, and a friend of mine who desperately needed some detox was calling and looking for gas money to get there so he could start on his journey of recovery. And sometimes it's hard, the timing of those things, but it's always so important too. And I enjoy it. And some of it is pure joy, because I try and get around to see a lot of different people at church. And Gene Bitzer and I are good friends. We go out to lunch every once in a while together. And yeah, in fact, we did Olive Garden last time. So that wasn't a real burden at all. I got to be honest. We had a good time with that. And we talked about all kinds of things, women in ministry and church. And it's a lot of fun. So I enjoy walking with you. And it is my responsibility to push you spiritually. And I'm learning that more as I go. So if I push you, understand it's because I love you, and I want to see you be more like Christ. I told this church that when I came here, that expect to be pushed. I'll have 1,000 ideas, probably only 3 of them will actually happen, but I'm going to continue to push ideas. Because the church is here, and I'm always seeing it out here. The funny thing is, some people are still seeing it back there. And we find this happy medium where we try to move forward, but I don't ever want to just get comfortable in who we are. The world is changing. There's a lot of people that don't know Christ yet and need to know him. So we are going to push and push. And I encourage you tomorrow night to come to our semi-annual business meeting. We as a church meet twice a year to discuss business. Now, I know that doesn't sound very exciting. But our elders get together. They give reports on what they've been doing. So do our trustees, and some of our other leaders. So you know what's going on in the church. We vote on the budget. We'll be doing that tomorrow night. And we're actually talking about some new ministry we're thinking of taking on because God's blessing us. So maybe come out tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and join us for that. But as a pastor, it's my responsibility to push you forward and ask you things like, what is God doing for you today? Or what are you doing that reflects who Jesus Christ is? That's my job. So don't get too upset when I'm pushing you a little, because I'm going to push, because I will answer for you at some point. But I am thankful that God has brought this diverse group of people together. We are an interesting, diverse group. I mean, tell me that we're not. You know, we've got Brian Dieter up here. We got Jen. We have Mark helps with Hot Wheels. I mean, it's just we're interesting. I often wonder if all of us decided to stop coming to New Danville and invade other churches in the area, what that would do to them. I don't know. It's a reason God put us all together, I think. All right, so beyond my responsibilities, Peter now goes on to the other side of it, and he says this, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. In other words, when he says those of you who are younger, it doesn't necessarily mean age, although it does sometimes, but it could be where your journey is in Christ. It's important that we have good spiritual mentors around us who push us forward in our relationship to God. I talk to people about that all the time. I've mentioned this before when I was running a youth group for the last decade. The biggest thing I asked teenagers was, are your friends bringing you closer to God or pushing you further away? Same thing when they would say, I have a new boyfriend or girlfriend. I would ask, is that new boyfriend or girlfriend bringing you closer to God or pushing you further away? It's important. People influence us. And we want to make sure we have those around us who are going to push us forward. And we have to be humble enough to accept criticism from them. When a mentor tells you, you know what, I think you could be doing this better. Or I think you're making bad choices. You need to be willing to listen to that. We live in a very proud world today where people are not good at taking criticism. I mean, you can see it on Facebook, on the internet, everywhere. Everyone gets instantly defensive when they hear something they don't like. It shouldn't be that way for the believer. We should be ready to hear constructive criticism. I always get a little concerned about that because I see some churches that seem to get very proud of what they believe. I saw a sign the other day, and I'm not knocking this church per se. I get what they were saying. But on their sign, right at the corner of an intersection, it said, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, I agree, because I follow the Bible, and the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. But I'm careful when I'm out talking in the world. That can sound like a very proud and very arrogant statement for those who don't know if they believe in the Bible yet or not. I go with a different tact myself. And this was a conversation I had with our moderator. He would be sort of the top guy in Lancaster Mennonite Conference. He spoke here last year. He and I were having a conversation about homosexuality, gender identity, and all those things, because we've had deep conversations with a lot of people about that. And he said, Robert, when I talk to people about that, I hold our beliefs gently, knowing I could be proven wrong and that I'm a sinner as well. So he wasn't proud and arrogant about what the Bible says. He said, what the Bible says, I hold gently. Or in other words, I hold it humbly. Because I'm trying to reach people with love and grace, not show them that I'm proud that I know something that they don't. We are to be humble among one another. So yes, our elders are to lead, and those who are younger in Christ are to follow good examples. But we all do it interacting in humility. As he said in that verse, he said, we have humility as we relate to one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. That's the kind of atmosphere we're building here. We have people coming together humbly to learn from one another and to be more like Christ. I said that at a funeral recently. I've heard a lot of people outside the church say, oh, those people in church are just a bunch of hypocrites. You know, they think they're holier than thou. And that's not the truth. The reality is, the people in church know they can't get along without God, and they're imperfect, and they come together because they need God to get them through life. You know? And to be honest, if you think the church is full of hypocrites, we've always got room for another hypocrite, so come and join us. Because we've all got our own issues, don't we? But that's the atmosphere here. I hope you always, we'll have disagreements, I get it. But let's humbly listen to one another and grow more to be like Christ. That would please God. He gives this warning about that. He says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Remember, he was talking to persecuted Christians. He's like, guys, it's like that around the world for Christians. It's not unique to you. We all have our trials to face. But he says, remember, it's Satan walking around. Paul said it best. He said, remember, your enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not other people. It's Satan. Satan working through them. He's causing sin. He's the one we're fighting against. Let's hold the love for people and not make them our enemies, even when they disagree. If anything, we should feel sympathy for them when they're led down the wrong path. So know as we take this journey forward as a church, Satan is going to work against it. He does not like Christians who are successful and committed to God. And he will try to split us up. And I think that's the key. We have to watch for that. Satan's best tool is splitting Christians. Is making us argue about things, making us dislike each other. I watched a bunch of posts on Facebook this week that just destroyed me. They were Christians picking on other Christian churches because they didn't think they were doing things right. And they proved their point, well, this is how it's been. I'm like, you know, why would you put that on Facebook for everyone in public to say, well, there's those Christians arguing again. Are you kidding me? We can do better than that. Let's make sure we're loving on one another. So he finishes with this. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. That's what we're building here at New Danville. A church loved by God, doing the best we can. We do things imperfectly until God makes us perfect. So let's do it in humility. Be a family, and the best place you can show that to start is at our meal downstairs. I hope you'll sit with somebody maybe you don't know, start some conversation, and find out what their journey is with Christ. And I think God will smile down on that, and he'll join us and enjoy it as well. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the book of Peter, that he wrote to struggling Christians who were under persecution. Yet, Father, we know during that time, the church grew immensely in the midst of persecution. So, Father, if you need to light a fire underneath us to get us moving, we pray that you'll do it. But, Father, I do pray that you'll look down at New Danville and see people that have humbled themselves, that realize they don't know it all, and are desperate to learn from you and to become more like Jesus Christ. Would you help us all in the journey, Lord? Would you give our leaders the strength to lead? And would you give all of our congregation the strength to love and care for one another in grace? As we all walk this same journey together. We ask it all through the name of Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask our worship team if they'll come up for one final song. You guys know this song. It's Build Your Kingdom Here. And that's what we're doing. We're building the kingdom of heaven already here on this earth. Let's practice what that community will look like by loving one another here.